Good morning, friends. Skip here. 5:11 a.m. March 19th, 2024. Tuesday morning. The struggle bus is up and running. second day back after a long break. Always difficult. And I do hope this day finds you well. Tuesdays are Tuesdays. So we are up and going. I got about a week left of my current job assignment, and then I'll be back beating the bushes again. That's the life of a substitute teacher. But one of the constants, I hope, is this podcast, and I hope it is a permanent part of your day, at least a useful part of your day whenever you listen to it. Today's topic, here we go. You and I, and every human being that I have ever met, have some degree of a nagging feeling in us that something's not right. Something's undiscovered. I have never met, and I mean this with all sincerity, I have never met a person who does not have some degree of existential concern, existential angst, some degree of a search for some meaning, some degree of a sense of unfulfillment in their life. It is one of the constants that I have recognized that has brought me to an understanding of finding meaning, to the understanding of finding meaning. I have, you know, in my years in the ministry, I counseled hundreds, thousands of people, probably ultimately over 20 years. In my work, volunteering in treatment centers, in my everyday conversations, in casual work conversations, one of the constants that I have noticed in my life is that every human that I have been in any sort of deep conversation with, or even not that deep, of a conversation has expressed a sort of undiscovered part of themselves. And, you know, long before I ever could name what that was, and I'm going to talk about what it is here in a second, I recognized that. And I made the assumption that that's just the way life was. People were just really relatively unsatisfied. Some people are happy, some people aren't. Some people have easier lives than others. But collectively, there was always an existential sort of questioning. In college, you know, in philosophy classes, in religion classes, in my everyday work, in my everyday conversations, I've noticed this, that there's a question. There's a question that is really about people finding who they are, finding meaning, finding, discovering their truest self. And maybe that's what life is. You know, I'm willing to concede that the way reality is constructed, the way we've constructed it, forces us to ask those deep questions. The challenge, though, is that we don't have any obvious sort of paradigm or obvious way to answer the question. You know, at least for me, I found it through a lot of pain, a lot of self-destruction, a lot of transformation. At least I found what seems to make sense for me. And I hope it makes sense for you. So, what that hunger is, what that homesickness is, what that absence is, what that existential angst is the fact that we are not the fullest expression of who we are. We have not been taught to be the fullest expression of who we are individually. And of course, the fullest expression of you is not the same as the fullest expression of me. And so I can't, you know, nor would I try to give some sort of ultimate blanket, you know, all-encompassing answer to life's deepest questions. But what I can say is that the reason we all have these undiscovered or unlived out parts of our being is because there is something external to us called the reality we've created, the false reality, that is forming us in such a way that doesn't answer the questions. And so we end up with this sort of malaise, if you will, this sort of general frustration about what life is. And we begin to see life as one sort of gigantic struggle to make it through, right? To find some happiness, to... And it, hey, life is not easy. It is not easy. And what makes it even less easy is the fact that where we turn for answers seem to only further questions. That every time we turn around and try to find some resolution to this journey of self-discovery, the things we turn to can't fulfill that because they in themselves don't know themselves. So we turn to things like politics or religion, and we end up sort of in this vacuous, empty, questioning place. And we can either allow ourselves to be brainwashed, basically, into these concepts, or we can question. And I think most people, probably when they lay awake at night or when they look in the mirror, have those deep existential questions. Because we haven't lived out of our most authentic self. We've tried different ways, at least I did, and I think most people do. And most people I counseled as a clergy person, I'm no longer a clergy person, but when I was, they expressed in some way, all of them in some way, this profound sort of, I want to know who I am question. Because every time they went to express themselves, or many times when they went to express themselves, they found people telling them that that's wrong, or that's not the way you do it, or you can't believe that way because this is the better way to believe, or you can't think that far out of the box. You can't think that radical. I'm using air quotes. You can't be that different. You must fall in line. You must adhere. You must conform to the ways of the world. And even when we try to propose sort of radical notions about living in the world, those are stifled. I mean, you know, I just did a podcast a few days ago on who Jesus was or is to me. And he was a radical who proposed a different way of living. And, you know, look what they did. Because the reality we've created, the systems, the institutions we've created, do not perpetuate themselves through you being who you truly are. They perpetuate themselves through you conforming to who they want you to be. And as much as really good teachers teach, you know, not to follow the crowd, it's hard not to. It's hard not to, because where the crowd goes is where the money goes. It's where the security goes. It's where everything the world has to offer. So people live in this sort of repressed state of spirituality, and they can't name it, because everything we have presented as spiritual doesn't answer their question. So a lot of people just throw their hands up and say, well, it's not worth it. They'll say, and a lot of people told me this, they'll say, there is no answer. There is no real answer to those existential questions. I beg to differ. I believe there is an authentic you and an authentic me that can be expressed through a love that is not dictated by or from, you know, a religious concept or a worldly concept. That there's a love that sort of exists within us that can function outside of those boundaries. But I will also tell you, my friends, that people will not understand that, because they can't. You will be a thorn in the side of the standard practice of reality when you decide to love radically, when you decide to really explore who you are creatively, intimately, when you really explore what it means to be the human sexual being that you are, the human creative being that you are, you will seem like a, you will feel like, let me put it that way, a foreigner in a strange land, an exile from the reality that we have all been taught. You know, if you want to express yourself through art, if you want to be creative in some way, often you're called strange or foolish, right? If you want to express yourself through, you know, maybe approaching life in a different way, thinking about God or thinking about reality in a different way, you'll end up with this sort of moniker, this sort of Scarlet A, if you will, if I may borrow that reference from literature, that says that you're an odd buck, you're an odd duck in a world, you're a square peg in a round hole. You know, all those metaphors. If you want to express who you are sexually, people will put all kinds of titles, all kinds of again, there's that Scarlet A reference on you. Now, of course, when you do these things out of love, you do have a deep respect and a concern for the other. But when you begin to live out of a less repressed state of being, you will seem odd to other people, because they're repressed. And you will run into all kinds of things like jealousy. People will be jealous of your lack of a need for approval. Because on some deep level, we realize that's what it really means to be us. To live free of the strictures and the structures, the boundaries and the bonds of the false reality that we've created. And to really express who we are spiritually, creatively, you know, economically, politically, to express who we truly are through the basis of love for the other, love for ourselves, through sympathy and compassion, through simple things like smiles and hugs and acts of kindness. So I guess what I'm trying to say today, and I'll end here, I'm getting a little long-winded, I can tell, is that at least I see, and I think a lot of us do see, that most of the world lives out of an existential frustration due to the fact that they cannot express who they truly are because they've been told that those ways of expression are not appropriate for the reality we've created. And you know, history's full of it, right? When you look at the civil rights movement, that was a group of people saying to the world, we want to be who we are. You look at the equal rights movement. You look at LGBT rights. People saying, here is who I truly am. And I want to be able to be this in the world. Those are spiritual things, my friend. And for you to just practice your authenticity is that same claim. Here I am. This is an expression of who I am. Anyway, just a reminder that spirituality isn't some abstract concept about a God that lives somewhere other. Spirituality is about the expression of your authenticity, based and formed in love and in kindness and in generosity. And when we do that, we discover who we truly are. And that, my friends, is the point. Anyway, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for your time. See ya. Bye-bye.